Welcome to the Optimal Body Podcast. I'm Doc Jen.
And I'm Dr. Dom, and we are doctors of physical therapy, bringing you the body tips and physical therapy pearls of wisdom to help you begin to understand your body, relieve your pains and restrictions, and answer your questions.
Along with expert guests, our goal of the Optimal Body Podcast is really to help you discover what optimal means within your own body. Let's dive in. Okay, before breaking down more about what metatarsalgia is and what you can do, I want you to understand that we always want to think of your preventative foot health. So I know you might be coming to this podcast because maybe you are experiencing some pain, but there is still a way to work back into some shoes that are going to help to prevent future pains as well. And these are Vivo barefoot shoes. We've talked about them at length, right? I think if you've been on this podcast at all before, you've heard about Vivo Barefoot, or maybe on my Instagram, you've seen us share it. Now, Vivo Barefoot shoes, we love them and we've been a part of them and wearing them consistently for almost 4 years now because of the shape, the make, and the design. Now, it allows for those toes to spread out. If we don't have access to our toes, well, then we might be having issues anywhere along the foot, even at where you feel that pain in the metatarsal joints. Now, again, we need access. We need strength. We've been taught that we need extra cushion. We need arch support. We need padding. But really what we need is we need actual strength and control of our foot, starting with our toes, having the access to spread them out, and then increasing the strength. And it's been proven that if you wear Vivo Barefoot shoes for over 6 months, then you gain 60% more foot strength. That's huge. That's going to help to prevent future aches and pains and build that resiliency within the foot. And that's only going to help up the chain coming to knee pain, hip pain, low back pain. So if we start addressing what's happening in our feet and get our feet into better footwear that has the ability to access the toe space, to increase the foot strength, it's only going to help. And we have a code just for you on our podcast. Use code OPTIMAL at checkout. You get 15% off. We're going to link it up down below in the show notes. So you can just click the link and go check it out. But don't forget to use code OPTIMAL. Get 15% off of these Vivo Barefoot shoes, which is huge. So any purchase that you make, if you're coming back and you're like, I need a new pair. And if you want to know what my favorites are as a woman, I really love the Geo Racer knit. So if this is your first time, go check those out, grab them and put them in your cart. Use OPTIMAL at checkout and get that 15% off and start freeing your feet. We've had a code change, so make sure you use code TOB so that you get 15% off. That is TOB, like the Optimal Body Podcast. So we are talking metatarsalgia, which is really that pain at the bottom of your foot, more toward the forefoot or the ball of the foot, you know, right underneath where kind of what we call the metatarsals and the phalanges, which are our toes, right where that joint kind of meets right there. And it's usually more so in like the first, so underneath the ball of the foot, like the big toe and the second toe.
The good old metatarsophalangeal joint. Yeah. And again, it tends to mean that we are putting too much pressure. We're overstressing that area. We're going to get a little more into what causes this pain. But there's also different types. There's a primary metatarsalgia and there's a secondary metatarsalgia. Primary, when you hear primary, it tends to mean the old like, oh, you're born with it, or you were born with some sort of abnormalities in your foot that might result in you developing this metatarsalgia, putting more pressure on the heads of those metatarsals, which are at the very end before it meets the toes. Secondary means that you've developed it over time because of the mechanics of your foot or how you use your foot, and you've developed some sort of arthritis or some sort of nerve disorder in the ball of that foot.
Right. And so really when we're getting this pain, it can disrupt, you know, even how we're walking, how we're functioning, and really decrease our quality of life. So it's really important that we understand the mechanics of what we can start to do for this ball of the foot pain, especially if it's something that you're noticing initially. Like, let's catch it before it really becomes more of an issue, you know, starting to work a little proactively on the feet, especially so that we avoid any of these secondary pains that might happen down the line, I think is really key.
And some major symptoms that you're going to start noticing. So we're putting extra pressure in the area, or we've been overusing the area for a while. So you might start to notice a lot of callus formation, right? Or just an aching and a severe pain kind of in the ball of that foot, specifically having to do with pressure. So if you put pressure on the ball of the foot, that would increase the pain. Those are some of the main symptoms.
So then we look at, okay, well, what causes this, especially when we're talking about secondary, right? So you're not necessarily born with this. So what causes this type of ball of foot pain, and where does this come from? And a lot of times, you know, especially for athletes or people who are doing repetitive things, it can be an overtraining symptom that starts to develop, especially with that callus formation or wearing improper shoes or looking at gait mechanics. So we say that we're lacking our big toe extension, meaning that toe is not coming back enough as we are pushing off in gait. That puts a lot of more pressure right at the ball of the foot. Or if we're lacking that mobility in through the ankle and through the back of the calf, well, then that can put a lot of tension right at that forefoot as well.
Yeah, there's some reason that we would be putting extra pressure in this area, and that tends to happen because our neighbors are not pulling their weight. You know, if we have a high rigid arch and our foot is not able to absorb as much of that shock from in some of these repetitive activities like running or jumping, or if you're playing basketball, different sports that you're really heavy on your feet and you have a high arch, you might be taking a lot of that absorption right through the ball of your foot where those metatarsal heads kind of meet the ground. And like you said, if you're lacking big toe extension, or they've even said with over pronation, or if you have a too lax of a foot, again, that might cause you to be too lax in that MTP joint, or the joint at the end of those metatarsals, right when we meet the toes, we might not have enough stability there. So really, if we have deficiencies or restrictions anywhere throughout the ankle, foot, and toe complex, we might start overusing this specific joint.
Right. And that goes into play. Well, then if we don't have a strong enough muscles inside the foot, so what we call our intrinsic foot muscles are smaller muscles that go and they line the inside of that whole foot area. If we're lacking our strength within those intrinsic foot muscles, well, then we're not supporting what's happening all throughout our gait pattern, which again is just going to put that more pressure right at that forefoot. So it's think of it like a lack of balance, you know, throughout the entire foot complex. And this happens a lot with dancers too, when you're putting your calf in a lot of sustained isometric holds. So you're up on the ball of the foot and you're working that calf muscle over and over and over again, or you're just putting that extra pressure right at the ball of the foot. That is super common to develop in dancers as well. And sometimes just as we age, so the older that we get, we lose some of those fatty pads that we have that protect around our foot. And so with that tissue kind of becoming thinner, we could be more prone to having those aches and pains and those breakdowns kind of happen, especially if we're not balancing the entire foot. So we're really putting that over pressure right at that ball of the foot.
And this kind of comes in conjunction with other diagnoses we might hear, because we're calling this metatarsalgia as just a generalized like pain in the ball of the foot, which is kind of at the heads or the ends of those metatarsals. It might be secondary to arthritis or some arthritic joints in those metatarsals. Stress fractures, it can be fairly common to get stress fractures in different metatarsals. Again, especially when we're dealing with repetitive or continual movements that we're just doing over and over again, especially with that impact, or different neuromas. We had a whole episode on Morton's neuroma, and Morton's neuroma can kind of, have similar symptoms to something like metatarsalgia, and Morton's neuroma runs between the metatarsals, so that makes sense.
And so even just going through like some of the causes that can cause that secondary metatarsalgia to appear, you can probably start to pick out, okay, well, maybe that's what I need to work on. Maybe that's what I need to do. And you're right. That is some of the treatment that we're going to be looking at. Obviously, in the beginning, when you're having this pain, you want to start to modify your activity. So maybe instead of running, you're swimming and you're deloading the pressures in that area initially, especially when you're having a lot of that pain. We just don't want to be impacting and doing high level activity right at that area. We want to back off for the moment while you work on all these other things we're going to talk about, so that you can take off those pressures and they can start to reduce that sensitivity and that pain in the area.
I mean, if we never back off and remove the stimulus that is irritating the foot in the first place, it's going to be tough to work on the other things we need to work on,
right,
and then progress a little more thoughtfully back into those activities. So like you said, for high impact activities, doing swimming, elliptical, biking, you know, those are different activities that you can still do a cardio variation of. Or if you're like, man, I need to continue to train, I'm playing basketball or jumping or doing things like that, like you can get in the pool and still do a lot of those activities. And it, again, removes that impact, but still allows you to develop some of those explosive muscle fibers without having the big impact on the ground when you land. So first thing is usually to calm it down.
Yeah, exactly.
Calm that thing down.
Well, and you know, there are different metatarsal pads that you can use and you can put in shoes for, especially for people who may say you're nursing or you're on your feet all the time, you're a teacher. You know, sometimes you can't avoid being on your feet, especially being on your feet is a tough one, right? So getting a metatarsal pad, it just helps to add that padding in so that you're not getting as much friction or tension in that area that's causing the pain and the irritation in the first place. So those pads are especially good as you're starting to work into relieving that tension and pain.
And I mean, it's one of the times that, well, actually when you're in the acute pain, that's one time where I think Jen and I would both agree, like using something like this pad you're talking about or some sort of insert or cushion mm-hmm. that helps to reduce that sensation or that impact a little bit, even with walking, could help make things a little more comfortable to help gradually calm things down. Like you said, if you still need to be on your foot, but that's not a forever thing.
No.
At least in our opinion, that's not a forever thing.
It shouldn't
be. A lot of podiatrists might say, oh, put this insert in your shoe and you will use it forever until kingdom come.
And that's it.
Right. And I mean, we interviewed an incredible podiatrist, Dr. Emily, who we've worked with in multiple different capacities now. And we absolutely love her approach to teaching people how to work with some of the foot diagnoses that we get. But I think she would kind of agree with us in this aspect of, yes, it would be great to maybe transition. Or I've even heard her say, because one of the things we're going to talk about is using barefoot shoes or using a Vivo barefoot type shoe that has the wider toe area and the wider toe box so that your toes are going to be able to move. So we're not restricting them in tight shoes anymore. But the thing is, it has that really thin bottom. So if you do have that irritated foot, you might not want to throw your foot right into a Vivo barefoot shoe because it's going to feel even more aggressive. But I've heard Dr. Emily say before, if you have an insert, put it in the Vivo first and wear the Vivo with your insert for a while, again, to get things to calm down. And then that's where you can slowly start to remove that for an hour or 2 hours a day. And Vivos are going to be so great to help you just develop that mobility too. They're so flexible that they're going to help with your toe mobility into that extension. They're going to make your ankles work a little bit more because you're not going to be at that, have that heel lift. And a heel lift, like something like high heels, it puts you into more of a forward position.
Or even just running shoes. Running shoes have that elevated heel as well that we look at and we see all this cushioning right in the back of the heel. Well, that is naturally going to kind of shorten our Achilles and all the way up to our calf. So they're not getting that full extension as we, as we're going through gait and walking. So we need to then stretch them even more and we need to do all this mobility. So if we have shoes that are zero heel drop, then it teaches your body to use that full capacity of your calf muscle and your Achilles. And that's what's so important, because one of the risk factors or the causes for getting metatarsalgia is having a really tight posterior chain. Posterior chain means the muscles that run along the backside of the body. So this is your Achilles, your calf, your hamstrings, your glutes, like all the way up. So how are we super tight along that back chain? Well, we have to also look at the shoes that we're wearing on an everyday basis. So we do want to be thinking about stretching a calf. You do want to be thinking about mobilizing your ankle and getting more ankle mobility. That's going to be huge to take the pressure off of what's happening in that forefoot and just distribute the pressure as we walk. So not only do we want to improve our big toe mobility, but we want to improve our ankle. We want to improve the mobility within our toes. So getting that access to spread your toes again, to move your toes is so important. And that's again why we go back to Vivo barefoot shoes, because it's not about a wide toe box. Usually a wide toe box is still kind of squishing in the toes area. It's a broad toe area. And so it opens up the capacity for our toes to actually spread and move more functionally as they should all through life. And so if we're continuing to kind of bunch up those toes, it just, or wear something that our heel is lifted, it's just the more that we have to combat and work on our feet and ankles so much more.
And even talking into like intrinsic foot strengthening, because you brought up the foot intrinsics, which include some of our big toe flexors, but also the muscles that spread our toes, mm-hmm. are primarily our intrinsic muscles. And just wearing, there's research that shows just wearing Vivo barefoot shoes increases our foot strength by up to 60%.
Yeah, 60% in 6 months.
In 6 months. And so, again, just wearing those barefoot shoes, walking around barefoot more often is going to help with that intrinsic foot strength. But then also doing things like different short foot exercises, active toe spreads. Mm-hmm. I mean, one of my favorite combos of all time is using a Vivo barefoot shoe with our Neboso toe splays and wearing them in the shoe. Because mm-hmm. again, then you know you have the space in the shoe, and the Neboso toe splay, it fits. It has that slim profile, so it fits right in the shoe, and walk around with those for just 10 minutes and then take your feet out, take the splays out, and you'll be able to notice the difference mm-hmm. just from walking around that little bit.
Or walking around your house wearing the toe splays. Now, we've been talking about these products, so I just want to let you know we do have discounts on all of these products.
We'll link both those up below. Code for both of them is Optimal.
Yeah, super easy to remember.
15% off. For both of them.
For both of them. So Neboso has really great products, not only the toe splay, but they also have balls. That, like, all their tools are meant to provide stimulation and feedback. And the reason that they have more like acupressure points on like the balls or the inserts that they have, it's not about, you know, increasing an arch. It's actually about having a flat insert, but increasing the surface area that you feel. Because again, if we're talking, well, we're putting too much pressure right at the ball of the foot, we need to disperse the pressure. We need to then increase the feedback we have to the foot. And so getting not only a wider shoe like Vivo Barefoot, but also getting Neboso insoles can help so that you get that feedback. It's going to feel so weird, right, at first when you're stepping in these insoles, but it's really cool to provide better feet, like mind-body connection, so your feet actually know how to work again, and you just help to balance out that foot even naturally just by wearing the insoles.
Yeah, and I mean, of course, we're bringing these things up because it's what we know. It's what we use. You can do all of these things really without getting these specific products. You can roll your foot out with a tennis ball. You can weave socks in between your toes as a toe splay or a different option for a toe splay. Some people put their fingers between their toes and move them around, mm-hmm. but that, you know, can be a little bit aggressive if you're not used to that. So there are, of course, ways to do all these exercises without going out and buying a product. It's things that we use and trust, and it's really advanced our own foot health. I mean, I historically am someone who has very rigid arches, real tight ankles. I have an excess of big toe mobility. So actually, I think that my excess of toe mobility has caused me to put a lot more pressure on the ball of my foot as well. And I have heck a lot of calluses.
Do callus management for sure.
Which is one thing that you should be doing with metatarsalgia, managing those calluses to bring down some of the bulk of that, you know, skin tissue that's essentially scabbed up skin tissue on your ball of your foot. Bring that down so that you continue to remind yourself not to push too hard off that area.
Yeah, so your body's not just moving in one area. But Dom has improved the mobility of his foot so much just by wearing Vivo barefoot shoes and starting to increase like the toe mobility, the ankle mobility, you know, and the foot mobility. But like, just because you have an high arch doesn't mean that you can't access that ability to pronate again. And just because you have an excess pronation doesn't mean that you can't access the ability to supinate or lift or arch the foot, right? So we have to be able to balance and do both. It's not about having this perfect neutral foot, because one, what does that really look like? But it's really about being able to pronate and supinate. So flatten the arch and lift the arch. We have to be able to do this. And we just taking off the pressures initially by stretching, opening up the areas, addressing the areas above and below. We talk about this all the time, right? So if the ball of the foot is the thing that's hurting, well, how can I increase my toe mobility and start to spread out my toes? How can I increase my ankle mobility? And then I can start strengthening. I can start strengthening the bottom of my foot and walking again and doing these things and in different shoes that are going to be able to provide that feedback. And, you know, jumping into a Vivo barefoot shoe, especially if you've been wearing different shoes for your whole life, is quite shocking to the body. So we definitely recommend breaking them in over time.
Yeah, even just wearing them around your house for like 30 minutes or an hour at a time, just to get used to the feeling of how little there is underneath your foot before you take it out and wear them for 3 hours of running errands. Like that could even be a bit much.
Exactly. Short errands in the very beginning, or maybe just a workout. If it's a strength workout, you know, no jumping and explosiveness.
30, 40 minute walk or something. Yeah. Just to like, again, feel how your foot responds to that. And really what wearing a shoe like that points out really quickly is where you have your own restrictions. It points out where you have the restrictions, whether it's in your ankle, whether it's in your toe extension, whether you feel like you don't have enough of that flexibility in that arch. A barefoot shoe is going to help you realize that and then help you address it along the way as long as you progress into it intelligently, rather than what many podiatrists would suggest is, oh, put a heel cup in there or a heel cushion, or put you know, some orthotics in there because you don't have arch support. Like, okay, let's build that arch support ourselves so that we don't always feel like we need to have shoes on so that we can have our orthotics in. Being barefoot is awesome and it allows you to feel the ground. It allows you to feel what your environment is like around you. And the more that we build up this underfoot technology, the more that we're going to numb our foot's ability to respond to the world around us.
Exactly. And all too often I see people who have super cushioned shoes and they're walking around and you'll notice, you can look at your shoes and see, oh, I wear down the outside a lot, or I wear down the inside a lot. And you don't even realize that when you're walking, you don't feel that because you have no feedback to the foot. So all of a sudden you're continuing to walk on a shoe that is putting your foot in a less than ideal position, not allowing it to actually get the strength that it needs because it's fully supported by all this cushion, and you're just wearing down sides of your shoes and thinking, okay, I just need new shoes, and you know, it's time to get new shoes. Well, it's time to get better shoes, okay? And you can still have, you know, your running shoes that you love. You could still have those other shoes that you come back to, especially in the beginning when you're starting to transition. But, you know, starting to just get your feet in better, wider, zero heel drop shoes is going to be key long term. Initially, we want to reduce pain, inflammation, irritation, all that kind of stuff. Down the road, work toward getting into Vivo barefoot shoes.
There we have another foot-related podcast, one of our favorite topics of all time. So if you have friends or family out there that you know struggle with foot pain, please share this out with them. If you would consider, leave a rating and review on your favorite podcasting platform. Remember to check out Vivo and Neboso. They are Jen and my favorite foot health products. And of course, we will see you next time on the Optimal Body Podcast.